Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Small Steps for Better Health podcast series. Today, we are on small step number 7, and we are going to talk about eating plant-based, and so filling half or more of your plate with fruits and veggies at your meals. And my name is Jeannie Alice Bruce. I work as a social media specialist in marketing at North Mississippi Health Services, and joining me today is Dr. Richmond McCarty. Dr. McCarty, thank you so much for joining us today. Will you introduce yourself?
Yeah, Jeannie, I was happy to be here. My name is Richmond McCarty. I'm one of the physicians within the North Mississippi Medical Center system. I'm board certified in family medicine. I also have a lifestyle medicine certification and have also done some functional medicine certifications.
That's awesome. Will you tell us a little bit about what lifestyle medicine is before we get started?
So the way I kind of term this to my patients is lifestyle medicine is basically common sense medicine. Mm-hmm. So really, if you look at the just crisis in healthcare we face today, lifestyle medicine should be first-line therapy for almost everything. Because really, if you look at the statistics, chronic disease, and when I say chronic disease, what I'm referring to is diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, is the leading cause of disability and death worldwide. And so, again, lifestyle medicine just kind of meets that common sense first step that everybody should take. Lifestyle medicine is broken down to 6 pillars. Okay. And so some of those pillars, I think, apply more than others.
Right.
But you have a breakdown of nutrition, physical activity, sleep. You have kind of spiritual health. And then also one that we try to avoid, more caustic substances like alcohol, tobacco. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty, like I said, common sense.
Yeah.
And so it's a good first approach.
It's great. And so if you're following along with small steps, we actually wrote all our small steps kind of based on some materials that Dr. McCarty shared about lifestyle medicine. So if you're following along with small steps for better health, then you are already headed in the right direction with lifestyle medicine. So, Dr. McCarty, we know that changing our eating habits is one of the best things we can do for our health. And so if people have been following along with small steps, hopefully they're already starting to cook more meals at home, which should be improving their health and nutrition already. And so next we're going to talk about focusing on what we're actually putting on our plates. So when we talk about filling half or more of our plate with fruits and veggies, what does that look like?
So that can, you know, you can be creative. It really has no one standard, and that's the great thing about it. So, and obviously everybody's palate is a little bit different.
Right.
Obviously growing up as a kid, I probably survived off peanut butter and chicken nuggets.
Right.
So obviously neither things that I really promote in today's diet, but basically I think that, you know, you can fill that with as simple as basically frozen vegetables that you steam. Obviously, we do promote more kind of whole foods, fresh vegetables when obtainable. And of course, that's going to be seasonal. So you also have to understand that. But I think, you know, what, you know, a daily meal at my house looks like is we will have some kind of green veggie. So that could be, you know, a side salad. That could be broccoli, asparagus, take your pick. And then we'll have some kind of legume, which is a bean.
Okay.
And so that can be lentils, black beans. You can make some, you know, a lot of times we will make a little mix of kind of black beans, corn, onion is just kind of like a little side dish. And then, you know, you can sometimes get into also simple starches, sweet potatoes. You can cube those up. A lot of times we will roast vegetables and that's great. So it's simple. You just basically slice them up, put them in the oven on broil. And so a lot of these things don't take that much time. I think the big hurdle, and this is for most people, is just habitual change. So behavior change, that is one of the big things in any kind of success is behavioral change. So you have to change those habits. And a lot of people struggle with that, including myself. But yeah, I think that's one of the big hurdles there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, the great thing about filling our plates with more, you know, nutrient-dense foods, so more fruits and veggies, potatoes, legumes, those kind of things, it kind of, you naturally start to eat less of those ultra-processed foods, right? I mean, if you get full on veggies and good stuff, you don't have as much room for the junk food.
You're exactly right. So I think to go a little deeper in what you just said, really what you're doing is you're adding a lot of fiber to your diet. So obviously fiber makes you feel more full.
Right.
And the other thing is you're focusing more on nutrient-dense foods.
Right.
Versus calorie-dense, which is what you're referring to from a processed food standpoint.
Right.
And so interesting, I was reading a book the other week, and basically based off this book, it said that 60% of the American diet is from ultra-processed food.
Okay.
And so what it said was, for every 10% of your diet that is ultra-processed, your risk of death goes up by about 14%.
Wow.
So
we define ultra-processed for us. What does that mean?
Basically, that equates to the standard American diet.
Right.
So that would be any type of fast food.
Okay.
Pre-packaged foods, mm-hmm. Foods on the go, like in a gas station, mm-hmm. Like when you go up. And so that's going to be highly processed. Mm-hmm. So basically, anything that's processed is not in a whole food form.
Right.
And so that is the majority of the standard American diet.
Right.
And that's really what I encourage my patients to slowly move away from.
Right.
Thus the purpose of this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about the benefits of what we call plant-based or plant-centered, as we were talking about earlier, plant-based eating.
I don't think I could just do one benefit, and
right.
we would have to make this podcast a lot longer
right.
to really talk about all the benefits. Mm-hmm. But again, obviously, first you have to think about all the things you get away from.
Right.
So meaning all the basically harm that comes along with the highly processed foods, fried foods, and you've got to think about what comes with basically plant-based diet.
Right.
So you're getting all the different antioxidants, flavonoids, whole fiber. And like you said, that makes you feel fuller, so you're not as hungry. So when they look at the studies, when they put people on whole food plant-based diets, and actually Joel Fuerman has a diet, it's called a nutritarian diet, but basically there is no real cap on what you can eat. Mm-hmm. Basically it's just whole foods, and what you find out is even though by volume you may eat more, by calorie you're eating less, because
right.
they're more nutrient dense. So that I think that's one of the big things. And the other thing is I think there's a big challenge as far as when you look at the supplement market, and you look mm-hmm. at all these things that are trying to be marketed individually. So for example, we'll just pick vitamin C. So we all know vitamin C is good for you.
Right.
But when you look at the studies and you break it down, really, you really want to get that vitamin C from the whole food. So you lose so much and get such less in return by saying, let's just taking a supplement versus eating that fruit, that citrus fruit, you know, to get the whole vitamin C plus all the fiber in that, all the flavonoids. So, you know, there isn't really, in my mind, a downside, you know, to eating a whole food plant-based diet, because the benefits are exponential. And really, there is no risk.
Okay, so I feel like plant-based diet is something you kind of see in headlines and you see thrown around a lot. So, I mean, does that mean vegetarian? What does that really, when we say plant-based, what do we mean?
So plant-based, that's a good question. Pretty broad definition when you say plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the way I try to term it for my patients is I kind of push what's called plant-centered.
Okay.
But really, to be more specific, is the main definition for me would be a whole food plant-based.
Okay.
Really, when I think plant-based, I really think whole food plant-based, mm-hmm. meaning, you know, you take that as a whole food and you basically prepare it from there, or, you know, you roast it or you saute it.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically, you're making it from a whole standpoint in the home itself versus mm-hmm. buying something pre-packaged
gotcha.
Or pre-processed. So I think, you know, as we were talking earlier, there's a huge industry now with vegan-based foods and,
right.
and, you know, plant-based cheeses and, you know, again,
plant-based brownies.
Right. So basically, if you want it, you can probably find it.
Right.
However, that doesn't mean it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I would warn people for, is really, when we're talking about plant-based, we're talking about whole food plant-based that you prepare in the home itself.
Right.
And that's where you're going to get the most benefit. I'm not saying those other things can't be helpful when you compare it to the worst choice like fast food.
Sure.
But again, I really push more of a whole food plant-based approach.
It's almost a spectrum of like the ultra-processed is, you know, McDonald's, candy bars,
sure.
that kind of thing.
Sure.
And then there's the more middle of the road. It's getting a little better. Like the more plant-based but still processed food,
right.
and then ultimately the fresh vegetables, even the canned and frozen vegetables that you prepare at home is
right.
really kind of the best choice. So I think a lot of times when people think about eating whether they're thinking about eating, just eating healthier or eating more plant-based, they think it's going to be boring. You know, they're envisioning wilted veggies on their plate and boring food. And, you know, that's not the case. When you think about plant-based food, you're looking at all kinds of vegetables, all kinds of fruit, potatoes, mushrooms, all kinds of beans. I mean, it's really a huge variety of food.
Sure.
So I just want to say, if you're not somebody who eats a lot of veggies and you start trying this and you don't like it, what would you tell somebody to do?
So, yeah, I agree. So really, whole food plant-based eating is really a lot of fun. And really... Some of the handouts I have in my exam rooms, just you kind of look at the rainbow of color.
That's right.
So those dishes are so colorful compared to two veggies on the side. And so I kind of look at it. Most people look at probably that have no knowledge or background of it, look at kind of what I call cafeteria style, you know, plant-based eating, where that's what they kind of remember. I remember going through the cafeteria, looking at those vegetables and thinking, there's no way I could eat those.
Like squash that's been cooked in it.
Right. Yeah. Or it's been there for a couple hours. Right. So you're right. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
So I would still take a pass on that.
Yeah.
But I think that as far as, you know, integrating it. So one thing I do is we start simple, just like this podcast, small changes. And, you know, so what I would say is at dinner, what I tell people is, change, you know, one starch out for a veggie. So if you're having, you know, a potato or rice, change that out for a veggie. And so just start there and just at dinner. And so even those small changes, we'll start to see benefit. And as that goes through, then I say, okay, for breakfast, let's try to do, you know, stay away from the heavy carbs. So if they're just doing, you know, high carb cereal. So what I will say is let's do oatmeal. Okay. And then you can add, you know, berries to that, different type of nuts. And I think, you know, I think the biggest thing when you look at making that transition is preparation.
Right.
So, you know, that's what when people say we don't have enough time. And so, and sometimes that's the truth. But however, just like anything, when I push as you kind of transition more to a plant-centered diet, I really encourage kind of more, you know, batch baking on the weekends. So you can make a lot of simple dishes that will last, you know, a couple days. So that makes that easy. So I really encourage people to try to, you know, prepare or think ahead down the week, because that's where you fail. You know, you don't have time and you need something fast.
Always.
And we know most things that are fast are not healthy.
That's when you end up at Burger King.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, I would also just say, if you try this, you know, you go to the grocery store, you buy a new veggie and you try it and you don't like it, don't give up. There are an endless amount of veggies and endless amounts of ways to cook them. So just keep trying, have an open mind, and just keep coming back until you find something that you like. And also your taste might change as time goes on. I have found, at least in my experience, when I'm eating a lot of ultra processed foods, the veggies and the fruits don't taste as good. Then as you start to move away from that highly processed food and eating more whole foods, they start to taste different and your taste buds change.
Well, it really opens up new flavors.
Right.
And so I totally agree. So again, I think like anything in life, it's a little bit of a trial and error. So don't give up. But the other thing is we have so much to our access in that sense. So meaning there are so many different websites now that you can log on. And that's another thing I give to my patients, a big list of websites, you know, and they're all free and they're, you know, they're simple. In fact, there is a local website, ShannonSimple.com, and he is actually out of Boonville, Mississippi. So it's shocking that we would have a whole food plant-based blogger. So he has great recipes. And what I like about that is they're simple. So meaning they're all ingredients we can pronounce.
Okay.
They're all ingredients you can get from your local Walmart.
Great.
And so I think that's the other kind of misconception about plant-based eating is that there's some exotic fruits, exotic vegetables, and that's not the case. Most of what you can do, and then when you look in most plant-based societies, really, it's really staples that they use. I mean, of course, you can glorify anything, even a steak. but, you know, the main thing is, you know, keep it simple, and it makes it different. And as you start down this process, what you'll see is you'll start to notice a change. You'll notice a change in your energy level. You'll sleep better. You'll naturally progress to your baseline weight. And so, again, I just encourage people to really just open their mind and don't be overwhelmed.
Right.
Just like, again, simple, small steps. And don't try to take on whole, you know, entirety of it. So
Don't try to change everything you eat all at one time. Pick
exactly,
one meal.
Exactly.
Take it slow.
And what I tell people, if there's something you love, I mean, you can still keep that on board.
Sure.
Just use it, you know, sparingly and say, mm-hmm. use that as something to look forward to.
Right.
Is what I would say. But I think, you know, again, the more you can move away from the typical standard American diet, which mm-hmm. is composed of highly processed foods, and which we didn't mention, talk much about, is the sugar-based beverages, which are right. a killer in so many different ways.
Right.
So, you know, I tell most of my patients is sugar is really the biggest legal addiction out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think of how many people it impacts. So it blows alcohol and typical drug addictions out of the water. So
right.
you think of all the damage it does from a health standpoint, and it is on every corner. It's cheap and it's addictive.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and it's in everything.
Everything.
Gosh, so, that's another reason to avoid those packaged foods. I mean,
yes.
even things that don't taste sweet at all usually have sugar in them when they come from a box or a bag.
Well, and people are, you know, another thing I'll do in my exam rooms is I have the equivalent of different sugar-based beverages and the amount of sugar in it. So if you're wondering how much sugar is in things, so basically if you look on the back of any bottle or container or package, you look at the total grams of sugar and you divide that by four, and that'll tell you how many teaspoons of sugar is in that product.
Okay.
So let's say it has 40 grams of sugar, which is your typical 12-ounce Coke.
Mm-hmm.
That's got 10 teaspoons of sugar in it right
Gosh.
There. And so, you know, if you, depending on which association you look at, so for example, the American Heart Association recommends no more than 9 teaspoons for men, 6 teaspoons for women, and you've already beaten that in one 12-ounce Coke.
Yeah.
So it's it really makes you stop and wonder. But, you know, like you said, sugar's in everything. Sugar's
mm-hmm.
in milk.
Yeah.
And so people just don't, you know, once you start kind of engaging, it'll really open your eyes to some
for
things.
Sure.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about, before we started filming, we were talking about, I think it was Canada's food guidelines. Will you
Correct.
Talk a little bit about that?
So I would say if you look at our current USDA food pyramid, it is still woefully behind,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would say that obviously we've made incremental progress.
Sure.
But I think, you know, what I really kind of raise up is Canada has taken a big step forward, in my opinion, and they have presented basically their food pyramid or plate is all whole beans, vegetables, legumes, beans, no meat,
okay.
and no dairy.
Okay.
And so that is, I mean, almost kind of mind-blowing in this age.
Yeah.
But really how that occurred is basically they disassociated themselves or separated themselves between all political and
mm-hmm.
all big business, big pharma, food industry. And when you really look at the scientific data, there is no question what the best approach is. And that is a whole food plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I would encourage people to look up just, you know, Canada's kind of food pyramid and
mm-hmm.
compare that to that of the U.S. because the U.S. is woefully influenced by, you know, the dairy industry, by
yeah.
the meat industry, by the egg industry. And so everybody's got a take in it. So, you know, you even look at some of the recommendations by our own medical organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So most of those are backed by dairy or
mm-hmm.
Dannon or
mm-hmm.
so. So again, you've got to ask, so why are they making those recommendations? Is it really for our health
mm-hmm.
or is it because they get money?
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think the main focus is if you're really looking to change your, not only your health, but your, you know, longevity,
right.
A whole food plant-based diet is definitely the way to go. And it's
That's
not
right.
as complicated as people think.
Right.
You know, keep it simple. Don't overwhelm yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Make small changes. And, you know, all the patients that I've helped transition,
mm-hmm.
they would never go back. They feel
oh,
so
wow.
much better. And,
oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so, you know, there was one statistic that really blew my mind when I was reading the other week was 87.7% of Americans are taking at least one medication a day.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, let's go ahead and round that up and say 90%.
Everybody.
So, right. So 90% of Americans are taking at least one medication. Now, that includes over-the-counter.
Sure.
So that's not just prescription. But obviously, that should be a huge red flag.
Right.
And, you know, we are now at a place, you know, I look at how much we have advanced in certain areas of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a technology standpoint, we are more advanced now than we have ever been.
Absolutely.
When you look at different robotic surgeries, different new medications as far as mechanism of action, but we are woefully losing the battle on the, you know, front lines as far as healthcare. I mean, you know, our obesity epidemic continues to go up. You know, right now, 40% of our own state is obese. And so one out of three people are pre-diabetic. So again, what are we missing? And what we're missing is the fundamentals. And if you go back, we are basically killing ourselves. So there was a little kind of saying that I read in one of my books. So it said sick care to health care. And so again, I think as, you know, a primary care physician practicing on a daily basis, I would really encourage all primary care, you know, all providers to really take heed of, you know, plant-based nutrition, because it should be first-line therapy for every chronic disease out there. And there's even some data as far as Dean Ornish did a study. He's a big pioneer in the plant-based world. But basically, this was a study on prostate cancer. So it was a two-year study, and they basically, what they did was, is they put them on a whole food plant-based diet. They were, you know, encouraged a certain amount of exercise a week and spiritual meditation. And what they showed in this study over a two-year period is it halted the progression of prostate cancer and even reversed a little bit. So again, and even, you know, I've seen some of that in my own practice with some of my own patients. So again, there's so many benefits. So again, it just, I would need hours to you know, continue to tell you the benefits. But again, keep it simple.
So one more question before we wrap up, because I feel like this is something that comes up a lot when we talk about moving to a more plant-based diet. People always say, well, what about my protein? Am I going to get enough protein eating this way? Can you just touch on that?
I've never I've never heard that statement. You're right. So again, and first you would have to say, okay, well, what is required for protein? So I think therein lies a challenge too, because you have, you know, the circles that are very protein heavy. And so that would be really in the workout world, athletic world. And so obviously protein is essential. And I see a lot of protein malnutrition in 65 and older. So when you look at where protein comes from in a plant-based diet, basically all plants really have some degree of protein. But when you look at the more concentrated, it's really going to be your beans, legumes, for example, edamame, that has, I think, 11 grams of protein per serving. Black beans, you know, you're looking at 8 grams. And so when you start mixing all those together, and then when you get the more concentrated, you can get into what's called tempeh, and you can get into tofu, which is a soy-based product. So those are much higher concentrated. So you can use those as well. So I think for those who work out, including me being one of those people, I do use plant-based protein powder. So again, it's not wrong to use that. So it depends what you're doing. So I think unless if you're actively working out and trying to build muscle, you can adequately get your daily amount of protein in a plant-based diet. But obviously, like you said, you do have to pay attention. So that would even be if you weren't even following a plant-based diet. So there are plenty of patients who still follow the standard American diet that don't get enough protein. So again, it's not near as hard as people think. And there are even, you know, there are easy ways to do that. Even like, for example, I made a smoothie this morning. And so they have, you know, alternatives to obviously dairy milk. And most of those are now fortified with anywhere from 5 to 8 grams of protein. So I'll use that as a base as my smoothie. And then I add, you know, protein powder, and I add multiple different fruits and veggies in there. And so again, I know that sounds nasty, but it's really actually pretty good.
Sounds good.
So again, that should definitely not scare people away. And it's really more of a myth that I think other industries use to dissuade to follow more of a plant-based diet.
Well, thank you so much. So that's small step number 7. So the next couple of weeks, spend time putting more plant-based food on your plate. Don't worry about changing your whole diet. Pick one meal, add more fruits and veggies, see how you feel, and then maybe pick another meal to add more and just start moving in this direction, I think. We'll be back in 2 weeks on this podcast with our next small step. You can follow us on social media where we'll be posting these small steps, or follow our podcast or sign up for our e-newsletter. So there are lots of ways you can get more education on this topic and more tips. Dr. McCarty, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you to everyone who is listening, and we will see you back in 2 weeks. Have a great rest of your day.